This is Let's Get Legal. We are powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. My name's John Hansen. We'll take you up till 3 o'clock. Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan Law joins me. Patrick, good to see you again.
Good to be here. Thank you, John.
We've been on News Nation a couple times recently together.
Yeah, listen, my lucky day twice in 2 days, John.
Get to hang
it's
on
a
out.
Dream come true.
What do you do for a living, Patrick?
I'm an employment lawyer. So okay. I help people who have questions about their workplace issues. Could be a contract, could be discrimination or harassment, could be retaliation, compensation, equity, salary, whatever. And also non-competes. People have a lot of questions about restrictive covenants and non-competes.
Okay. So and they can call in now to ask those questions. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Okay. We had the jobs report come out yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and it was a big one, another ahead of expectations, although there were revisions about February and March that actually showed less jobs had been gained.
Yep.
So I think it was actually kind of in a sweet spot for a lot of people in terms of adding jobs. That's more of a financial issue, but when you see these job numbers, and we do see these layoffs that are coming and have already been reported, a lot of people are going to need an employment lawyer soon.
Yeah, so we've already gone through some layoffs, right, with the tech industry, with the financial industry. Maybe more are coming. The jobs numbers were encouraging, I thought, especially in the service sector and things like that. But it's a time of transition, and some people will get laid off as part of a group. And so they may have different rights versus individuals. I've spoken with a number of people recently who've been part of very large group layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have documents that pertain to not just them, but everybody, but their circumstance may be different. And so you need to talk with them about how they may be different from everybody else and what that means for their separation package.
Okay, so to put that in layman's terms,
sure.
or like I'm 5 years old, even though you've been laid off as a group, there are still individual things you need to look at.
Because, for example, if you're over 40, you could be laid off as part of the group because of your age. If other folks who are under 40 were treated better, maybe it's a gender issue. Maybe there are a large group of women, for example, who have been laid off versus men, or maybe just in your specific area, you were the only woman. So there are a number of things to look at and kind of peel back. Even though you're just part of a group, doesn't mean that, you were included rightly.
Mm-hmm.
We have to ask questions to determine if that's the case.
I imagine a lot of people who have either been part of a layoff before or know people that have been, maybe they felt something was a little squirrely about who was laid off, but they just thought, there's no way we're going to be able to prove this. I mean, they may be right.
They may be right.
And the company may have acted right, but maybe not.
Yeah, maybe. And I would say go with your hunch. I mean, especially if you're talking with people you work with, and it just doesn't seem right that you are part of the group. Or maybe let's just step away from groups, for example, just individually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why were you chosen to be the one who was part of a, quote, reorganization, even if it's only a couple of people? So it's the same sort of questions to be asked to determine if you are properly included in that group.
What are companies required to tell you about firing you?
Not much, actually.
Okay.
If it's not part of a group layoff, like a large group layoff, where they have to give you information about the ages of people who are in the group and those selected and not selected for termination, if it's just an individual person, honestly, they don't really have to tell you anything. Now, companies often do, because they don't want you to spend too much time thinking about why you were laid off, right? Because you may come to a conclusion that could be inaccurate.
Companies have feelings?
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that, John.
The boss who fired you might have feelings.
It's in their own best interest. That's
what
I'm saying.
To tell you
more. Yes, to tell you more. But oftentimes they don't. Or maybe the reason they give is not right. And so the person's like, well, wait, that doesn't make any sense. That my performance, I was rated great until I started complaining about my job or my compensation or something like that.
So should you ask a bunch of questions?
You mean the employee who's being terminated?
If I'm being terminated and I'm like, well, let me see.
But
I think this is wrong. Maybe I don't tell the boss that, but I'm like, I want to get them to say as much as they can so that when I call you, Patrick Dolan, I'm armed with a little bit more because I know this is not correct.
Yes, with this caveat. So it's not a time for any sort of argument, right?
Yeah.
I think what you're trying to do is fine. Say, why was I terminated? Why was I included in that group layoff, et cetera? Just to hear what they have to say. And, if it doesn't ring true to you, then we have something to talk about.
Okay, let's say I got fired and I didn't agree with it and I thought I was being discriminated against or unfairly treated unjustly, and I go to you, Patrick Dolan, and I say, my performance was great. I just had a review 3 months ago that was stellar, and they're telling me they fired me because of performance issues or something and the other thing. Can you go to that company and say, I want to see this employee's personnel file. I want to see this report from 3 months ago.
Yeah, you can and you should. I can do it. The person, actual employee, can do it,
too. On your way out, you can be like, give me a copy of my personnel file?
Yes. Now, they don't have to hand it to you at that point. They have a little bit of time to do that under the law, but you should ask for that. And, you know, a lot of people come to me and say, I just got a really good review. I don't understand it. Oftentimes, it has to do with the change in the boss. If you have a new, listen, I was great until this new boss came along and suddenly I can't do my job. There is a lot to unpack there, because maybe it's an expectations issue. Maybe things are changing in the company. So it's not necessarily the case that just because you got a great job review recently and then you didn't, doesn't mean that it's there's something wrong there. Like illegal, I mean.
Right. It may not feel right and morally or ethically. It might be like,
but it doesn't
shady.
Mean that it's illegal necessarily.
Right. Could be. 312-981-7200. Ready and answering some phone calls now. If you have any issues with your either being laid off, you were laid off, you were treated poorly, something along those lines, or if you are accepting a new job and you're wondering what should I ask beforehand, those are all great questions too. 312-981-7200. If someone is starting a new job, what are some things that we should think about there?
There are a number of things to think about as far as, let's just say they get an offer letter, right? And then we have to go through it to talk about the issues like compensation and benefits. But what if there is a non-compete? You know, that that's going to impact them during the job and after their job. And so there are a whole bunch of different questions that have to be asked about the position they're starting, the job responsibilities, the compensation. What are the expectations? And if there's things like equity, if there's like a bonus or a commission, then we have to talk about plan documents, because they don't want to agree to something without knowing exactly what they're agreeing to, especially when it comes to compensation.
Are we a little blinded when we start a new job, or worried we're going to make the new job mad if we ask, what's the severance package? It seems like such a weird thing to ask on the way in.
Well, I'm not there, but there, it's part of an offer letter, an employment agreement, though.
Right.
If you're terminated, what happens with your, if you're terminated under different, you know, scenarios? If you leave, if the company terminates you with or without cause, what happens? So those are very reasonable discussions to have.
And saying, I want better severance on the way out?
Yeah, because severance, you know, severance appears typically in an offer letter or an employment agreement. You know, it's hard to get it on your way out if you don't already have it.
I know. It just seems like such a weird thing to talk to a new boss about.
Well, you know what? You know, most jobs end. You know, I don't get a lot of employees have been there 40 or 50 years. Let's put it that
that's
way.
That's true. And they're probably...
You're going to change jobs.
You may gain their respect by being like, hey...
I've got some questions. I mean, these are legitimate.
Smart.
Yeah, these are legitimate questions that need to be answered.
Okay.
There's nothing aggressive about that at all.
All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. You can text in questions. You can call in questions. Why don't we take a break right now? I know we've got someone on the line. We'll get to Chris after this on WGN. All right. Let's get legal power by the Illinois State Bar Association. Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan. What is your phone number, by the way?
312-332-7800.
312-332-7800.
You got it.
To chat with Patrick about any of these issues. Or you can call us right now. Chris did that. Chris got a great question. Hey, Chris, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Great. What's your question for Patrick?
So my question is, if I give 2 weeks' notice and then the company says, no, actually, today is going to be your last day. Like on Monday, I gave my 2 weeks' notice and said I'll work for 2 more weeks. I'll finish up all the projects. And they said, nope. Today's your last day. Are they obligated to pay me for those 2 weeks?
Interesting question.
Yeah, no, they're not. And, you know, just to clarify, unless it's in a contract or something, you don't have to give 2 weeks' notice. You can.
Right.
I know people.
But Chris is nice. She was trying to be nice.
Listen, you jumped ahead of me, John. I was going to say, it's usually, I'm sure Chris is very nice. She sounds very pleasant.
Yes.
But, you know, if you feel like you need to, go ahead. but they don't have to keep you for those 2 weeks and they don't have to pay you. They can terminate you upon you saying, I am resigned, but because I'm so nice, I'm going to give you 2 weeks of transition. They could be like, you know, we don't care that you're so nice. You're done today.
But even though Chris is leaving on her own and saying that she's entitled to any accrued vacation, right?
Yeah, she is for sure up until through the date of termination, accrued unused vacation to the date of termination. The thing I will add, though, and this happens quite a bit. I've been down this road many times. So if somebody gives notice and they're then terminated, if there's an issue like discrimination or something like that, the company may argue, well, you quit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you didn't suffer any, quote, job detriment. I'm saying, no. You fired her. She offered to quit, but you fired her, so she was actually terminated.
Oh, so like...
Wait a minute. So she's not only... Sorry, John.
That's right.
I was getting excited.
You're getting excited.
Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. So she may be entitled to severance if you get severance when you're terminated, not when you quit, which is almost always the case.
Keep going.
You have suffered the job detriment that you need to pursue any kind of discrimination, harassment, retaliation, something like that.
Let me make sure I understand for Chris's benefit. She says, I'm leaving. Maybe she has a new job. I don't know. Chris, do you have a new job lined up?
Yes.
All right, so she's got a new job lined up.
Maybe there's a non-compete issue, but right. let's table that for a second.
I'm leaving this job. I'll give you 2 more weeks. And they say, nope, today's your last day. So they fired her then?
We have the argument, and I have made the argument many times, that she has been terminated because she's offering that her last day is 2 weeks from now, and they're saying, nope, your last day is today.
So she may be able to get her vacation and a severance package?
She'll get her vacation no matter what. No matter what. That's Illinois law. I have an argument, I've made the argument for people, that you terminated her under the offer letter, back to what we were talking about earlier. She's entitled to severance pay.
Chris, you might get severance pay. You got to call Patrick, okay, on Monday.
Okay.
All right. 312-332-7070. There was. Never been interrupted by the guests so many times.
Sorry, John.
That's okay. 312-332-7800 is Patrick's number. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Larry, we're going to get to your question after the news on WGN. Patrick Dolan here now for about another 10 minutes or so. Mike Leonard is waiting in the wings. He's in the green room texting me everything he wants to talk about today. I love Mike. He always has so many great topics, and he's got some good ones. And then I just scroll through our text message exchange.
And just ask him those questions. You just sit there and listen.
No, Mike's got a lot of great stuff.
He does.
We'll talk with him in just a little bit. Let's try and get through a couple calls,
okay,
Patrick, okay?
Yep.
So I want to go to Laura. Hang on. Your question is great. I want to go to Larry first, just because he called on in before the news. Larry, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, since the governor of Texas has sent us a couple busloads of people, mm-hmm. our mayor's indicated she wants to help these people get employed as soon as possible. What legal employment actions can she take to help people who are undocumented get jobs?
Well, okay, so that's a great question, Larry. And as far as I understand, asylum seekers are able to work and earn. And I have heard, including Byron Andreas, whose daughter was just on with Home Sweet Home Chicago, Andreas, the construction company, that he called into Your Money Matters, and we talked about how he started to have some of these migrants start applying for jobs, and he's hired them. So, Larry, I think the mechanisms are there. Maybe what the mayor and other people can do, and maybe they are behind the scenes and we just don't know, are trying to connect businesses to them, maybe providing translation services or something, because while they are here, you know, I know there's a big debate on whether they should be here, whether they shouldn't be here, but while they are in our city, in our suburbs, if they want to earn, pay Social Security tax while they do it, contribute to the local economy.
Why not?
Why not? That's at least how I feel, Larry. I don't know how you think.
Well, I'm just thinking, but they would get Social Security numbers, right?
I believe so. And I am really speaking over my skis here, Larry, but from what I understand, an asylum seeker who has been legally processed and has a future date to appear at court, which they all do, they've all either been given cell phones, some of them have been given wristbands with QR codes on it so they can get all their information down and download it and figure out when they're supposed to show up. And by the way, a lot of them do show up. I know there's a lot of reporting in the media that no one ever shows up for these hearings. That is not the case. Not everyone, but most people do who are asylum seekers. They are legally allowed to work. I don't think they have to go through very many hoops, Larry. They don't have to go through a visa process. I believe they're here and able to work and earn. If there's an immigration lawyer who can tell me I'm wrong, 312-981-7200. But, Larry, I believe those wheels are already spinning. And, I mean, there's like 70% support in this country for increasing legalized immigration. Some of that comes with people wanting to also secure the border more. That's legitimate. Some people wanting to provide pathways to citizenships for people that are here. Those are contentious issues. But you talk to any business owner. This is an aside, Patrick. I'm sorry. I'm going off on a tangent. You talk to any business owner or economist. They say the future of our country hangs in the balance on more legal immigration. When Social Security started, there were 10 workers for every every retired person. So 10 people's salary helped pay for retired people. That number's more like 3 or 2 workers now for every retired person. We need more legalized immigration to help bolster our workforce.
Especially now that working population's aging. I mean, we're about to go through a bubble.
Yes.
You know, so that's a whole nother issue.
And there are political discussions, and there's reasonable discussions to have about border security, walls, all these sorts of discussions. They can hammer this out, and they need to, because we are stuck in the mud with our immigration policy here in the United States. And this is the sound of me hopping off the soapbox now. And Larry, I appreciate the phone call and sending me on my tangent. Let's reel it back in here with Laura.
Sure.
Hey, Laura, you're on WGN.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. I wanted to talk. I have an ADA write-up from my doctor to give to my employer, and they have it. And last week, they told me I can't prop open a door. I have door duty. I work in a school. I'm a full-time employee. I'm a library aide. So I held it open, you know, for, it's like 20 minutes a day. It's a very, very heavy door. And I have a problem with my spine.
Mm.
It goes down my leg. And on the order, it says, you know, I'm not supposed to do a lot of standing or lifting and all that. And I told my principal, and she goes, oh, you seem to be having trouble doing your duties.
Mm. And by the way, as we go on, Laura, I think you know this. Just don't make sure you don't say the name of the school or the principal or anything. I don't think you would. I just figured as much. Just because we don't want to like throw it out there. But Patrick, any questions or thoughts or follow-ups?
Yeah, so, you know, this analysis really starts with a reasonable accommodation discussion. There should be a sit-down where you look at your job duties and look at the requirements of the physician and how those fit into your job. There's a lot of give and take there in these discussions about under the ADA in terms of reasonable accommodation. And as long as it's not an undue hardship on the business, that's the standard, in this case, the school, then they should be able to do it. I don't know why that is a big deal.
Why would they mandate her to hold the door open, right? Is that what you would normally do, Laura? Or is this then they're trying to accommodate what you're doing?
Actually, we had door duty, but it could be propped open. And now they're saying it can't be propped open. It has to. You have to open and close it all the time.
Why? Is that like a safety or a security issue?
I think so. But she did get me someone else to do it. And the other person is doing it. She said, this door is really heavy. I said, I know. And she continued. She says, well, you don't seem to be able to do your duties.
Well, you know what? Why don't you prop the door open and stand there? I mean, is it an issue?
I can't. We're not allowed to use any props.
Oh, they told her no problem. Interesting.
Okay.
Are there other stuff at the school that you feel like you could be doing to still service your job?
Someone on the other side, they just stand in the hallway, walk down the hallway.
Yeah, it seems like you should be able to do what you need to do there. I don't understand what the big deal is.
The doctor, you know, I have a note from the doctor.
I know.
I mean, we went specifically, you know, through things. And they said, well, if you can't do your duty, you don't seem to be able to do your duties.
You know what? I'm happy to talk with you about that because I think there needs to be a little pushback on that.
Yeah. And Laura, you know, sometimes it just helps to have a lawyer do that, right? To just so that they know that you're aware of your rights, because Patrick has told you what those rights are, and you're aware and that the school will know. And then you can come on WGN again and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, and you know what? Because there's sort of an unfair balance there between employer and employee. When we're talking about reasonable accommodation discussions, it should be a give and take. Oftentimes, it's not really a give and take.
Right. Well, so let's back up here.
Sure.
Let's zoom out of Laura's situation to other situations. So you have a note from a doctor. Mm-hmm. You have a disability now, an ADA note.
Sure.
I don't know if I used the term correctly
there. Fine.
A different ability.
Mm-hmm.
Language changes all the time. And you had a job. They're supposed to at least offer what to you, or they're supposed to try and work with you to find what?
Well, they're supposed to. Everyone's supposed to sit down, employer and employee, look at the job duties and look at the restrictions and see what accommodations the employer can make so you can do your job.
So they can't just fire you right out?
No.
They're supposed to find something?
Absolutely. Okay. And that's what I'm saying. There should be legitimate give and take there. Okay, and they can't say, you know what, you've got 17 job duties, you can't do one, you know, so
you're out.
You're out, right? No, it has to be, you know, an important job duty, and there should be a lot of give and take with that discussion.
Now, companies or public school employees or whatever, employers, excuse me, they will at some point, if there legitimately are issues and you cannot work, they then do have a right to terminate.
Yeah, if you cannot perform your job functions even with an accommodation, they do not have to keep you. You're not protected by the ADA.
But there needs to be a sit down.
So there has to be.
So overall,
the law requires it.
So Laura, you just don't feel like they're listening or helping you out at all.
Oh no, I mean they want me to be. They give me duties that, you know, they shouldn't have, like crossing guards. So they say, well, you have to stand out there.
Things that you literally are told that you're not supposed to be doing. All right. Well, yeah. Laura, Patrick, what's your number again for Laura to reach you?
312-332-7800.
312-332-7800 is how people can reach you, like Laura. Laura, call Patrick on Monday. Patrick, any last thoughts here today?
No. You know, I thought we'd get some sunshine here today, John. I don't know what happened.
I'm a little bit to the north and west.
Yeah, you're way too optimistic. I don't see anything.
I am optimistic.
You are.
Patrick.
You're a happy guy.
I am a happy guy. All right, Patrick, it's always good to talk with you,
thanks.
My friend. We'll
thanks,
do it again
John.
Soon, huh?
All right, take care.